Welcome back, everybody. It's another episode of Bubba in the Bloom, episode 377. Your week 24 Fab preview is upon you as we enter the month of September next week. It's August 27th, which actually means we have a month of baseball to go because the final day of the season is September 27th, which is absolutely crazy to think about. But before we get to the Fab and much more, you can find me on Twitter at BDEntric, the podcast at Bubba Bloom Pod, on Patreon at patreon.com/BubbaBloom. And my co-host, as always, on Twitter at RyanBHQ, Ryan Bloomfield. How you doing, my friend?
We are good. Yeah, I guess a month from tonight we'll be, celebrating our wins, drowning our sorrows, or just out of town on vacation. One of the two of us. So
yeah, I'll be rehabbing already on a plane home.
Rehabbing from the fantasy baseball season.
From vacation. I'll be on vacation.
Yeah. Sunday night.
Yeah.
Sure. Yeah, Yeah, I'm good, man. Had a great day. Tired, but that's life. That's life at 9:04 local time on a Thursday night. We'll see about this Fab period. Walker Jenkins might salvage some things, but we're definitely there. we're digging deep tonight.
Yep, it's replacing injuries. It's streaming. It's one prospect for now. We'll see a few more as things come along. But lots to go over. We'll still go over all 30 teams as we do. We'll probably watch the Giants bullpen blow it in the ninth, and you'll get your live reaction there. All kinds of goodies coming your way.
I imagine if we were recording during that Giants meltdown. When was that? Wednesday? Was that yesterday? Wednesday.
Yesterday. Yes.
They gave up what, 7-8 runs in the ninth? That would have been epic.
Yeah,
they still might. Like they're only up three, so you never know.
It's almost like I'm numb to it now, though. So it's not.
Yeah, you didn't really care.
I was at gymnastics yesterday, and you guys were like texting, and I'm just like watching the live feed on my phone, going, "Yeah, there we go." You're expecting the worst because that's what the season has been in a nutshell. All right, let's get to it. Let's talk week 24 Fab, Ryan. At least we have, unlike this, the current week we're in, next week we have a lot of baseball.
We have a lot of games. There are more. I'm not going to list every team with seven games because there are more seven game teams than six gamers next week. So that's the good thing. There's a lot of baseball, particularly on the American League side. If we check our favorite spots, the A's are on the road all week. They're at Texas, at Seattle for seven games. The Rockies are home. They're in Coors, so we get an all Coors week against some pretty bad pitching. So that could be interesting. The Rockies host the O's and the St. Louis Cardinals. And then last and probably least, the Cincinnati Reds are at home. We get a Great American Small Park week. They're at home for six games, five righties. They host the Padres and the Brewers. So a lot of games next week, which is good.
A lot of games, which is good. And we have some weirdness. We have makeup games on Mondays. There's one doubleheader on tap. A bunch of good stuff like that, which we will get you covered, as always, team by team. And we'll start with the Baltimore Orioles. And the Baltimore Orioles get to do that fun Sacramento Coors thing. It seems like it's always been Coors to Sacramento. Baltimore's reversed this week. They have seven games this week, starting with three at Coors Field. Then they head home for four against Boston. It's three righties and four lefties, thanks to facing three lefties in the Red Sox situation. So it's three righties in Coors Field, if that does anything for you. Tyler O'Neill has hit the IL again. Stop me if you've heard that before. It has led to Dylan Beavers getting at least one game versus a lefty. We'll see if that pans out. But again, three games in Coors, where you don't really care about Tyler O'Neill. So what are you looking at here with the Baltimore Orioles?
I am looking at Dylan Beavers. I think that's the move to make. Dylan Beavers is only 19% owned. I see you writing down things. I was going to bring a piece of paper down here. I was going to start a new Fab process 24 weeks into the season, actually write some of this stuff down.
It helps a lot.
Because I have, by the end of the show, certainly by tomorrow, very little recollection of what we actually discussed. But write down Dylan Beavers.
And we've lost Ryan. See, he goes and needs to get a piece of paper, and we've lost him. So what was that, Ryan?
Did you lose me? Am I back?
Yeah, you're back now.
Okay. Dylan Beavers is the name I would write down if I had a piece of paper.
There you go. Yes, I'm fully on board with you on Dylan Beavers. He's been kind of fringy as it is, but definitely should benefit. And at worst, it's going to be three righties, so he should play there. I'm also going to throw out Coby Mayo. Mayo's been swinging it well. He hits more power versus lefties, not going to deny that, but he's still playing pretty much every single day. And you get three games against that Coors Field Rockies pitching. That makes for at least a first half of the week stream for me and Coby Mayo.
Yeah, I'm good with that. K-Rage dropped a little bit over the last really month plus for Mayo while holding a ton of hard contact. Playing time's there. Schedule's good. Yeah, I like that.
Plus, he'll face the three lefties in Boston. They're good lefties, but he'll still get to face them. So he'll get you'll get probably at least six games, maybe seven games of Coby Mayo this week, which would be pretty sweet to think about. The last thing I'll look at, CES is 35% rostered right now in 12. CES is back to playing every single day. CES and Coors Field is what dreams are made out of.
Is it?
He just crushed the ball in St. Louis this week, so I'll take my chances in that series.
How would you rank Beavers, CES, and Mayo?
If you want power, it's CES, Mayo, then Beavers. If you want batting average, it's Beavers, Mayo, then CES. So probably, if I'm going for the gusto, I'd go CES at the top of that. But then again, one's an outfielder and two are corner infielders.
Details, Bubba, details.
Yep. But it's like we talked about last week. Make sure you're adding players if you can actually utilize players at some point during the week. No Colton Kowser for you because he's not there for me.
No.
What about Leody Taveras is playing every single day?
I mean, he's been playing every single day for a while. And I don't know. Maybe if you need some bags, Taveras has 10 bags, but hitting .228, 8 homers, 411 plate appearances. No.
Okay.
I can move on.
I was just going down the list because that's what I joked about on the Fab recap with Ben, with the A's having a full week. Guys like Carlos Cortez and company were getting rostered pretty widely just for the opportunity in a nice ballpark. Pitching side of things, anything standing out for you with the Baltimore Orioles?
No, we've got Yennier Cano seems to be buried, not doing anything in the O's bullpen. Kittredge got the most recent save, but that's been in flux all year. Rotation, not really anything changing. Seabass is back, has been back for a little while, but I don't know. Schedule wise, does Bassett have anything? Bassett's at the A's this weekend,
and then Boston next week.
Yeah, Boston, then Cleveland, and then at the Mets. So, like a decent schedule for Chris Bassett, but also Chris Bassett's not very good. So,
full agree. Boston Red Sox, they have seven games this week: three at home versus Seattle, four at Baltimore. One lefty and six righties for the Boston Red Sox. Mickey Gasper continues to crush. Ryan, six righties on tap. Are we going there, or should we be concerned with the fact that Roman Anthony and Trevor Story return on Friday and IKF will return on September 1st?
That's a lot of returning. A lot of returning production. Does Gasper actually play catcher?
He plays just DH.
He's not.
He's just okay, DH.
So he's just,
Connor Wong's been catching.
He's just eligible at catcher. Yeah, that's an issue. I think that is a potential issue for Mickey Gasper, though he is on fire right now, and I could see him at least holding a strong side platoon.
Where does Roman Anthony play? Would be my question.
I don't know. The outfield?
Because you got Rafaela, Abreu, and Duran in the outfield.
Someone has to DH. I don't know, but Gasper's hitting well, so.
I know, I'm just saying, I'm just warning people, don't be surprised if something happens, let's put it that way. But the move that I saw some Red Sox people saying on Twitter that should take place is Connor Wong should get sent down, and Gasper should be the catcher platoon with Adley Rutschman, is what people are hoping for.
That makes sense.
So that would be the saving grace for Mickey Gasper. Anything else on the hitting side of things for the Boston Red Sox?
Nope.
All right. What about the pitching side of things? Is they are pretty much locked and loaded there as well.
Yeah, no changes there. So have you moved on from Patrick Sandoval yet?
No, he still has a lot of good matchups coming up. It's a matchup-to-matchup thing. So in 15-team leagues, he's still in play. Just be prepared to be hurt, but he's in play. I guess I will ask you this, though, since we didn't there. Trevor Story is 49% roster. How excited would you be about adding Trevor Story?
I would say excited, especially if you need steals.
Yep, I agree with that. Because I dropped Monasterio this past week. I think that's going to be the move coming up for Boston along that stretch as well.
Yep.
All right, let's talk about the New York Yankees. Six games this week on the road, 3 at the Angels, 3 at the Padres, 1 lefty and 5 righties for the New York Yankees. And my God, Lombard, 6 straight games with an error. Throw that one out there.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's bad. Aaron Judge is taking batting practice. He's probably still a few weeks away, but it's just something to maybe get a little excited about. But, you know, he's already widely rostered.
Yes. Yeah, George Lombard, man. We miss the days of Anthony Volpe at this point with all these errors, don't we? I don't know. Any righty-heavy week, by default, I'm going to mention Spencer Jones. The ship has sailed in terms of picking him up, I think. I guess
98% rostered. Okay. Yeah, he's gone.
So a great week for Spencer Jones and any other lefty like Luis Garcia. Could absolutely mash. Because just looking at the weekly planner here, it's a 10% strikeout to walk. And one of them's Walbert Urania. So expect a couple homers there at least for Luis Garcia Jr.
Yeah, it's actually a sneaky, like, it shows a 7.5% K to walk for the Angels, but Clauston's been better. You can talk your trash and your ain't all you want, but whatever. And G-Rod's been good. They're just not big K to walk guys, but they've been serviceable, is what I'd say. And Buehler's pitched better of late. So it's like not a group of pitchers that jumps off the page, but at the same time, the Yankees' offense has not been great. So it's an interesting week ahead. On paper, the Yankees should crush. I'm with you, but might be sneakier than some think.
Yep.
Anything else on the Yankees pitching side of things? Max Fried is expected back this week and as part of the doubleheader with Boston. That should knock Elmer Rodriguez back to AAA. Somehow Will Warren lives to see another day yet again. Clark Schmidt is rehabbing. He's still a few weeks away. And Ryan Weathers is deceased.
Yep, RIP. Max Fried, we get the benefit of seeing him pitch probably on Saturday against Boston. And then, yeah, at the Padres versus the Mets. So the next two starts for Max Fried. So get Max Fried in your lineups.
Yes, yes. Tampa Bay Rays, they have 7 games this week, 3 at home versus the Mets, 4 at the Texas Rangers, 2 lefties and 5 righties for the Tampa Bay Rays.
The soft spot, of course, Cedric Mullins with the 5 righties. You like that. That's kind of it though for me.
What I will say is many were excited about Johnny DeLuca's playing time, and I was one of them, but also you were warned to be tempered. Victor Mesa Jr. could be back on Friday, so that could put Johnny DeLuca back to the platoon that he was once living in. So see how that plays out throughout the weekend before people get too excited and they see, oh, look at, he's playing every single day. That might be coming to a quick stop.
It does suck because DeLuca's like, he's good. He's hitting well, man. 271 runs. Batting average, 14 bags, right? And 279 plate. I mean, that's half a season. He's got 14 bags, 8 homers, 271 batting average. Mm-hmm. But playing time is an issue. And like you said, probably will be an issue once Victor Mesa returns, especially in a righty heavy week like this.
Yep. And just shout out to a guy that Ryan learned existed named Kenny Piper. That's pretty cool stuff. Not saying go add him, but just that's a hell of a name right there.
Rowdy Roddy's son. Did you know that?
Yeah. Rowdy Roddy's son. There you go. Any pitching here for you? Because I don't have much.
No. Nothing has changed with the Rays rotation. Brian Baker continues to, God, I think he's approaching 40 saves, which is just crazy.
Yes, sir. Let's go to the Toronto Blue Jays. 6 games on the road this week, 3 at Cleveland, 3 at Kansas City. It is 2 lefties and 4 righties for the Jays, who have found themselves a new leadoff hitter.
Yeah, I was going to let you talk about your guy, Brett Bateman. This guy?
Yeah, just playing every single day, especially in deeper leagues. Sure. He's hitting .324, steal. He's got no power, but he's getting on base. He scored 7 runs already. He's basically the little catalyst there. He's this year's Ernie Clement, so that's where we can go with that. But he's going to play pretty much every day. If he gets a day off, it's versus a lefty, but he's played like 50-50 versus lefty, so you can't say he's in a strict platoon in that regard. So, yeah, Brett Bateman is fully on board, especially in 15s. I'd go there. And any concern with George Springer, who's starting to lose playing time?
I mean, sure. He did homer tonight. I don't know. It was a blowout, so Hell, it could have been off a position player. Who knows? But yeah, you do get concerned once playing time starts to wane. One other thing I'll just add on Brett Bateman is, eight barrels and three homers all season in AAA. So if you need power, don't go there. Yeah. But otherwise, I like him.
Yeah, I take Dylan Beavers over Bateman in that conversation. But you want runs, you want a little batting average boost, Bateman's not a bad play this upcoming week.
Yep.
Pitching side of things, they're down to four pitchers yet again with another injury, this time to Shane Bieber, likely taking him out for the season. They'll likely go with some bullpen games. They did just sign Michael Lorenzen, who's probably set to join the rotation. Don't go at him.
Yeah.
But just throw that. I don't have a whole lot for the pitching side of things for the Jays. Just wanted to throw that out there.
No, even Spencer Arrighetti, not looking great. He lines up for a two-step this week at Cleveland, at Kansas City. So, like, it's somewhat tempting, but Arrighetti does not look like peak Arrighetti from a year or two ago.
Not at all. Chicago White Sox, seven games this week, four at Houston, three at home versus Minnesota. Seven righties in seven games. Please, please, everybody, go start the Savannah Banana himself.
Yes.
Tristan Peters.
What a stud, man. Yep. What a freaking stud, Tristan Peters. So
still 9% rostered in 12s.
Yeah, that's criminal. We've been singing the praises of Peters for a while now, and it's been like the best hitter in baseball over the last week. And not only do you get seven righties, it's seven pretty bad righties. It's a 12% K to walk for the righties facing the White Sox this week. So Tristan Peters, man, he's a stud. Keep him going. And if it's only 9% in 12 teamers, let's try and at least get that up to 20% this week, people. Yeah. Come on.
Let's say 2025. Give us some love on that one. Your boy Benintendi's on the bereavement list. I'm assuming he's back next week. Is that? I'm not really in on it, but I could see you wanting to be.
Can you?
Yeah. You mentioned the soft spot, so you got to mention your other soft spot. you basically have a couple soft spots. This is number two, I'd imagine.
Stop talking about my soft spots, Bubba. I thought this.
Hey,
was
I am one big soft spot, so don't worry about it.
My soft spot for Andrew Benintendi is not as soft as Cedric Mullins is. So
fair enough. Anything else on the White Sox bats? Most of the ones worth talking about are rostered outside of Mr. Peters.
Agreed. And yeah, like we've talked about Sam Antonacci kind of falling into a platoon that does not apply this week. So, no, that's all I got.
And I don't have anything on the pitching side. Urquidy is who we thought he was, and you did not get let off the hook. I will say Anthony Kay has been pitching better. He's 35% rostered in 12s right now. And looking ahead, he has some nice matchups against Minnesota this week. Pittsburgh, who has struggled a bit versus lefties of late. Two-step at Cleveland and versus Detroit, and then likely a Colorado Road Rockies matchup after that. So that's a guy you could probably stream at least, you know, 70% of his starts the rest of the way, I'd say.
Yep. I like that for Kay. On the flip side, if you have Sean Burke, just be aware. Like, last three starts have been very rough. Like, Sean Burke in July and August was incredible. So it's kind of there are no Gene Seguras at pitcher, because you do know when they really screw up. But last three starts for Sean Burke, 11 walks, 8 walks in his last start, to only, can I do math this late? 9 strikeouts, 11 walks over his last three starts combined. So someone who has treated you well this season, it may not be over for Sean Burke, but maybe have him ride the pine this week until we get a good outing from him.
Yep, full agree on that one. Let's go to the Cleveland Guardians, who this week they have seven games on tap, all at home. 3 versus Toronto, 4 versus Detroit, 1 lefty and 6 righties for the Cleveland Guardians. And I don't know who you really can add this week, Ryan.
Yeah, not really. I mean, Nathaniel Lowe, maybe. Like, he's been serviceable in the middle of the lineup, but you kind of never know what you're going to get there. But yeah, 6 righties, you could go there. I don't know. Travis Bezzana has been up and down lately. Last week's been really good, but should get a bunch of playing time there. That's about it, though.
Yeah, that's all I got. Angel Martinez is getting playing time with Chase DeLauder up, but that ship has apparently sailed in the everyday at bats with the Guardians ever since Angel Hanau was called up. So,
what's DeLauder? Are you concerned about DeLauder? What's the deal?
No, he pinch hit on Wednesday night. I got a single. Okay. Like he'll be back in. It might be one of those where it keeps popping up from time. Like we'll get to Jake Bowers in a minute. It might be one of those kind of annoying situations, but I'd be shocked if DeLauder is not in the lineup on Friday. So,
okay,
it's a good sign. Pitching wise, the Guardians are locked and loaded per usual, Ryan.
They are locked and loaded. I will, you know, I do like Joey Cantillo, but I can't throw shade at Sean Burke and not throw shade at Joey Cantillo, who walked 7 in his most recent start. It's fair. At the Angels, it's like, come on, dude, just get it over the plate. It's the Angels. 7 walks in his most recent start, 4 walks against the Rockies, the start before that, 3 walks, the start before that against the Padres. So that adds up to 14 walks over the last 3 starts for Joey Cantillo. Not great.
Yeah, somehow the Guardians pitchers went into Anaheim, the starting pitchers, and just forgot how to throw for the week. So, like, even Messick, he's like the earned runs were fine, but his strikeouts were even down. It was just a bizarre week by the Magic Kingdom. Detroit Tigers, 7 games on the road this week, 3 at Minnesota, 3 at Cleveland, 3 lefties and 4 righties for Detroit. It's 2 righties and a lefty to start the week, 2 lefties, 2 righties over the weekend. This is one of those. Cleveland and Detroit, they have a doubleheader. Should have mentioned that with Cleveland. So they have 4 games over the weekend. They have a doubleheader on Friday. So keep that in mind. It's 3 games in the first half of the week, 4 games on the weekend. If you're looking to maybe add extra at-bats and counting stats for the weekend, these would be 2 teams to take. They're the only 2 teams with 4 games on the weekend. That's where I'm going with that. Yeah. But anything that interests you with the Tigers?
Howie Lee interests me.
Yep,
picked him up last week. Did you pick him up in 12s or 15s?
15s. He's on my AC.
Howie Lee, I don't even think is, unless I'm searching for him wrong, I don't even think he's owned in 12 teamers. So. He shouldn't be.
Like, I don't think 12s are awake to lead just yet. He's 0% rostered in 12s.
Yeah. Hitting the ball pretty well, 9% barrel rate, so slightly above average there. Good strikeouts, playing every single day, hit 272, 7 homers. Trending a little bit better over the last couple of weeks. So even though Howie Lee, he's hit second a lot of times, either hit second or ninth, which is just kind of random. But yeah, playing time's there. Skills are decent. I think, yeah, more of a 15-team play, but I would go there.
Yeah, I had him earlier this year when it seemed like he was doing good things and he just stopped getting playing time. So I dropped him. Now he's getting playing time again, so I'm back on board with that one, especially with the upcoming schedules. Keep him in the lineup. Like you said, the approach to the plate is good enough, especially in 15s. Pitching side of things, I have nothing unless you do.
Not really. I will. I don't know why I'm so obsessed with Drew Anderson, but I think he's gone 5 in each of his last 2 starts. So has somewhat stretched out enough to get wins. His next few starts line up. He gets the Dodgers this weekend, but then 2 against Minnesota and then the Road Rockies on September 13th. Good skills. 18% strikeout minus walk for Drew Anderson. Good number of whiffs. Again, a lot of that is as a reliever, so take it with somewhat of a grain of salt. But I think he's pitched well enough to be in a waterfall in 15s.
In 15s, I could see the appeal. Just whenever if Jack Flaherty ever comes back, that's likely the spot. But
true,
I don't know if Jack Flaherty is ever coming back, so I wouldn't get too worried about that until it actually happens. Kansas City Royals, they have 6 games at home this week. 3 versus Miami, 3 versus Toronto, 6 righties in 6 games for the Caglione. Hey, freaking Royals. My God, that man is on an absolute tear. The only guy I am interested in, but they still won't commit to him full-time, and it's annoying because he didn't play on Thursdays. I want Tyler Tolbert to play now that Mount Massey's on the concussion IL. Give me steals, because Tolbert is stealing bases pretty much every game he plays. Just throwing that out.
Yeah, and of course, send our wishes to Mount Massey. Don't like the.
I was watching that one. I had big inning on when it actually happened, and it was nasty. It was like a whiplash concussion thing. It was it was bad.
Did not look great, and wouldn't be surprised if that's not a 7-day minimum. Josh Rojas was called up today.
Yeah, he played and screwed the whole thing up. It annoyed me.
I don't know, man. Yeah, Tyler Tolbert's the one we want to play, but if he's not playing, then you can't really do much there. Interesting, somewhat ripple, but perhaps Isaac Collins is playing second, or at least played second base on Thursday.
What the hell is going on?
He's played like six or seven games. So if he stays there through the weekend, Isaac Collins could be second base eligible.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. It probably doesn't mean much. It's Isaac Collins, but that was just out of the blue for me.
Yeah, it surprised me too. That's why I was looking at it when you were talking. I was trying to see who played second. I saw him, and I'm like, are you kidding me? Like, that's who we're playing over? Tolbert, but whatever.
Correction, he's played. Collins, this was his fifth game at second base, so
yeah.
May not get it quickly, but I don't know. I didn't even know he played any second base.
Neither did I, and he shouldn't. But we'll see how the weekend goes. Even if it's like, if four out of six games next week Tyler Tolbert plays, I think the way he runs, like I compared him in the last Fab call. He's the Estuary Ruiz of the infield. Yeah. Just let him play four out of six games, and you'll probably get at least four stolen bases.
And resident Royals expert and good friend of the show, Kevin Hastings, says in the chat, unfortunately, they like Rojas at third base now, which screws up the Tolbert playing time. So,
yeah, Josh freaking Rojas.
I know, man. Like old Diamondbacks legend, Josh Rojas. And legend is that's doing a lot of lifting there.
A lot of lifting. on the pitching side, you mentioned how Drew Anderson is getting stretched out.
Yeah.
Daniel Lynch is almost there. Not sure it means we really want to love Daniel Lynch because he's been a different pitcher getting stretched out than he was in the rotation. But I wanted to mention that because, like, the 15 idea, Lynch gets Toronto this upcoming week, and then it's Arizona, who could be tricky, at Houston, and then the White Sox. So it's kind of hit and miss, but he's another guy. He's close to that five-inning stretch situation.
Yeah, Lynch has gone 4 and then 4 1/3 in each of his last two starts. However, a combined total of 3 strikeouts and 3 walks in those two starts. So that's not great. Like, I think I'd rather Anderson than Lynch.
Agree. I would as well. It's just something that I noticed over the last couple of weeks that has changed just a bit. All right, Minnesota Twins, 6 games on tap, 3 at home versus Detroit, 3 at the White Sox, 1 lefty and 5 righties for likely the biggest acquisition this week in Fab, Minnesota Twins.
Yeah, this is the cover boy on the show. This is Walker Jenkins, who is, I guess, going to make his debut on Friday. I don't like saying this is the last prospect to be called, because who the hell knows? Next week could be someone else.
Each week.
Probably will be. But, I mean, Walker Jenkins is worthy of our attention for sure, right? Hit 323 across the minors this season, hit 308 in AAA with 12 homers, 17 steals, decent power, good running game. I think the playing time is interesting. Like, does this mean, is a Byron Buxton Eielston coming?
That's what I was about to say. It feels like the fact they're bringing him up, it means an IL stint, because you don't bring him up for partial playing time. You bring him up because the door has been opened for playing time, and that means Buxton's on the IL. And where I was going to go with that is 15 days is half of the season, or it's 10 days for hitters, still a third of the season. Buxton has been right since his first hip thing.
Snip. Like,
it's getting real close. Like, listen to the verbiage they use for putting him on the IL, but you're getting really close to a cut situation with Byron Buxton.
At this point, anything over the minimum is probably cut territory, unless it's a total stud. And like you said, Buxton has not been a total stud.
He hasn't
lately. Like, I just think he's playing hurt. And I mean, the hip has been an issue throughout the second half. So, I feel like that's the move that's going to happen. I know we're kind of aging the podcast by trying to predict that, but I mean, other than that, like, you can make room for Walker Jenkins, right? Like, you don't need to play Trevor Larnach all the time. You can maybe move Luke Kuechel back to infield. There's things that can be done to get Walker Jenkins his playing time. I don't think there's any service time considerations here. We're past the 45-day limit or whatever, and then the number of at-bats, we've kind of passed that as well. Like, you can pretty much play every day and not get to that the at-bat threshold to keep rookie eligibility for next season. So I don't know how much money anybody has left. I don't think this is just like a Cade Anderson, you know, leave yourself with $8 the rest of the season type deal. I don't think Walker Jenkins, you know, eventually probably will be really good. Who knows in 1 month how anybody's going to do, but especially someone seeing major league pitching for the first time. But certainly, I think the top priority in hitter ads this week.
Yep, I agree. He should be close to the top, if not the top. And Buxton might be an interesting drop this week. So just keep an eye on that as it plays out. Yeah. Pitching side of things, the Dean keeps throwing well. We'll see how he does on Friday in a little bit of a tougher matchup, but still one that he might be good at. He's 52% rostered in 12s. If you're looking for the Dean, we talked about him last week. So he'd be intriguing. Next week he gets Detroit, which is a dicey, then at Detroit again after that. Then the Yankees, then the Giants. So the last couple of matchups look really good for the Dean, but Detroit could be a coin flip. Not sure you have anything else with the Twins.
I don't. Covered the Dean well.
All righty. Let's head to the AL West, to the Sacramento Athletics, who are not in Sacramento this week. 7 games on the road, three at Texas, and then 4 at your Seattle Mariners. 3 lefties and 4 righties for the Sacramento Quad A's.
I like that. Are you a Donovan Walton fan?
Picked him up everywhere I could last week. Yes, he was one of my top ads last week, playing pretty much every day versus righties.
He was a good stream this week. Like I don't know if I'm buying the Donovan Walton surgence. I get why you would make the move for this current week. I mean, are you interested? This schedule is a lot tougher.
Well, here's what I'm going to tell you. Let's look ahead to the next A series. We got to get creative with Fab going forward. So the following week, 6 games at home, 5 righties on tap. So he's in play again. So it's one of those, do I want to play him this week? No. But to answer your full question, I want to play him the following week, which means he's at least on my bench this week.
Which means you at least hold him, because if you drop him, it's going to be at least a few bucks to add him back. And
that'll go in line with, as much as I don't like Carlos Cortez, he still fits the mold. He's one of the most popular ads this week. He had a home run for you. Like, he did his part. Jeff McNeil. If Lodog's somehow still available, like, you could still play Lodog this week. But so many of those, like, fringy guys, mainly Cortez and Donovan Walton, are probably worth hanging on to for the following week.
Jeff McNeil's up to 56% owned in 12 teamers, man. That God is
bless
just
America.
In our year 2026.
Yep. It's a beautiful thing. It really is. I'm assuming you're not a part of that 56%.
I am not part of that 56%, to everyone's surprise. I bet when you first brought up McNeil, he was probably 0% owned.
No, I think he was like 5 or 6. It was very, very minimal. It was definitely not a priority for many people out there. Tommy Tinkles, are you in on the Tommy Tinkles business?
Not really, no.
Because he's another guy I would like for the Sacramento week. So I'm just throwing out guys that if you want to try to sneak him through this week, if they're still on the waiver wire, sneak them through now. Yeah. Because as we get down to like 3 weeks left in Fab and 2 weeks, so on and so forth, these guys will be the priority ads for the week.
I mean, Tinkles is...
he's hitting for average.
And he's making some hard contact. He's got 10 barrels. He's hitting Tommy 5th. White, not Tinkles. I guess we should probably call these guys. Hey,
Blanco. Tommy Blanco.
I don't know. I shouldn't be too dismissive of Tommy Tinkles, but he could be fine. I mean, the playing time's there just because this team is dead. So
that is true. All right, enough probably talking about that. Anybody? Let's talk starting rotation first before I diatribe on the bullpen here.
I'm looking forward to your diatribe. You might need a diatribe on Gage Jump.
2-step this week. Let's go. Prepare to be hurt.
Oh, this the next week.
Yeah, gotcha. At Texas, at Seattle. Yeah. Let's go. Yeah, I don't start him at home, and he pitches great at home. It's so annoying.
All right, so everyone bench Gage Jump because Bubba's putting him in. And Bubba's been pretty spot on with start sit calls, but Gage Jump has been your kryptonite.
He has been my kryptonite, so I'm going to start him this week. Then the following week, he's at home, but it's against Seattle. Again, a team I should probably start him against, even at home. So we'll see where this goes. And he gets at Tampa. And then likely at home versus Houston. So he might be a drop here pretty soon. But hopefully the 2-step goes well. I want to talk. Do you have any other starters to talk about? Are you good?
I'm good.
Okay. The bullpen. Hollywood Hogan Harris was the man for like a month. He was getting them all. And he's still getting some of the leverage, but he has slipped up a bit. He got a save on Sunday. But Elvis has re-entered the building. He has three saves in his last three outings. The one on Wednesday night I was watching live, very shaky. Like he had like two whiffs and 26 pitches. But he got the save, nonetheless. So what seemed like they switched to Hogan doing the whole thing, and Ben Tidd's probably laughing at me right now because he'll tell me like in May this happened and then they switched over. Well, they're doing it again where Hogan got like a month and now it's Elvis's turn. I could say you could pitch them both if you need saves. You might want to go with Elvis because he's the hotter hand for now, but Harris is still hanging around is what I'll say. But it's definitely not a locked in thing like it was the last like 3 or 4 weeks.
Yeah, I mean, Elvis Alvarado was a popular fad pickup like 2 months ago for this reason, and then he just disappeared. So I would be more surprised if Elvis Alvarado still is the primary guy next week. I would expect Hollywood Hogan to get some saves next week just because that's what happens. And I just don't think there's any rhyme or reason. Well, surely there's a rhyme and reason to it. We just don't know what it is, but I would be very careful. I at this point in the season, like if you blow your fab budget, whatever, there's only three more weeks after this, but I'd be hesitant to place a bunch of money on Elvis Alvarado for his Tuesday and Wednesday saves because we may never even hear from the guy again.
That is very, very fair. So just something to monitor though, because there has been a slight shift in plans in the Sacramento bullpen. All right, Houston Astros, where they don't have a shift in the bullpen. Haters, awesome. But the Astros have 7 games at home this week, 4 versus the White Sox, 3 versus the D-backs, 2 lefties and 5 righties for the Houston Astros.
There hasn't been really a shift in anything for the Astros, so I don't really have anything. Yeah, the Yonder Diaz is back to the primary catcher. I'm not sure what happened
there. Yeah, he is. There's a joke to be had here. And it could just be a complete joke, but I think it was a beat writer or like a diehard Astros fan. It came across my Twitter feed, and it almost, I didn't full on check it out, but it almost checks out. Since the GM got fired, Diaz is back to playing regularly.
Oh, that's right.
I don't know how that would be the reasoning behind it, but it was just funny to see how that the correlation might not be the causation for the correlation, but the correlation is in play.
Oh, Bubba, just hearing you talk correlation and causation is, that's beautiful.
Yes, I just need a share, freaking the sheet shirt and we'll be good to go.
Yeah.
Anything else? I got them all flustered now talking about that. Anything else with Houston for you, though, besides, Ethan Pecco's got the two-step coming up, or is that this week he was doing it? Whatever. Oh, it was this week at the New York two-step. So, and the Yankees one went okay. It wasn't bad, so still worth keeping an eye on. But they also have Mike Burrows projected to come back next week and kick Pecco out of the rotation.
Yeah, no, I don't think Pecco's good at all. Like, the Yankees start was bad. 4 walks, 1 strikeout, 5 runs.
A lot of it came late.
I think he's out. I don't care when it came. He's out of there. No Pecco.
This is coming from the guy that also hates Walter Urania, guys. Remember that?
No Pecco. I'm holding strong on this one.
What about Mike Burrows?
Are you trolling me or what? Is he coming back?
No, he's coming back.
He's pitched better. Yes,
that's what I was saying. I just wrote about him.
I know.
And he's supposed to come back for a two-step next week and kick Pecco out of the rotation.
I know, but no, I'm not doing it.
Well, many people will, especially in the 15s. And Burrows gets the White Sox and the Arizona Diamondbacks. And I guess I'll give some context to this. Mike Burrows, again, horrible to start the year, massive sleeper for many people, but he's been rehabbing at AAA, and over his 3 rehab starts, it's 3 earned runs over 13 and a third innings, 15 Ks to 5 walks. These are things you like to see with him, and he's gone at least 4 innings in every start, which is pretty good. Faced up to 22 batters in his last one, so he's pretty stretched out is what I would think on that one. So just throwing it out there, Mike Burrows will be added in many leagues, especially 15s this week. And he has an intriguing two-step if you're looking to just add counting stats and not care about your ratios. So keep that on your radar. The Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim have 6 games this week, 3 at home versus the Yankees, 3 at the Pittsburgh Pirates, 6 righties for the Halos.
I think Vaughn Grissom is still – that's another, like, wake up. I think he's pretty good, and he's only, I believe, 19% or 17% in 12. So I like, I kind of always like Vaughn Grissom, but hitting third or fourth every single day. And then shout out your boy. You wrote this playing time tomorrow at HQ last week, I believe, but Christian Moore has been called up and should be the everyday guy going forward at second base, right?
Yep. He should be. He should be the everyday guy at second base right now. Vaughn Grissom's been playing first with Nolan Schanwell on the IL. That's why Moore's playing second, because Grissom's playing first. But, you know, I'll give the spoiler away. When Schanwell comes back, Grissom should just go to third base because Denzel Guzman has not been good.
Right. He's That's what should happen. And Grissom is fine at third. And Grissom has even played some third base lately, too. So that should be the move, but it's the Angels. You never know.
Yeah, so Christian Moore, I think, is worth the look. I don't mind the Vaughn Grissom as well. He's starting to heat up again. So a couple options. It's still a bad team, so temper expectations. But you have some options. Pitching side of things, you say, we say, y'all say you suck Kikuchi. He's back. Got shelled again. He's just not great right now. So temper that, I guess.
Yeah, this was totally off my radar, Kikuchi coming back. The second I saw it, I think I vomited in my mouth instead of trying to pick him up. So, yeah, no Kikuchi for me.
All right, but I will say George Klaassen is still just 37%. I am a George Klaassen believer, and he's pitched pretty well over his last three starts. And then Ryan Johnson, I'll throw him back out there again. He's 1% rostered in 12s. I know he left a sour taste in people's mouths before he was sent to AAA. He gets Pittsburgh this week, which is, yes, dicey. I'll give you that. But in 15s, Ryan Johnson should be heavily considered. I know he's picked up, I think, like Posma in my AC this past week. He's allowed, since he was recalled on, his last three or four starts, it's been one run or two runs. He's allowed four runs over his last four starts total. Strikeouts are still whatever, but pitch mix change has been in place since the pitching regime has left the Angels, and it has showed in Ryan Johnson's success. So I just wanted to highlight that, at least, that there's a positive thing going that direction.
I like it. Good call.
All righty. Anything on the bullpen? Are we still all Ben Joyce fans around here?
Yeah, I guess. I mean, he's only pitched once in the last week, but
he won't go back to backs, and they're saving him for saves only because they want to utilize him in that role,
which I get, and that's fine. So, you know, he may not pitch for two more weeks, but he's the guy.
He is the dude. That is for sure. All right. Seattle Mariners have seven games this week, three at Boston, four versus the A's, four lefties and three righties for the Seattle Mariners. A heavy lefty week.
Heavy lefty week for the Mariners, which doesn't really matter. Dom Canzone's mostly been playing against lefties anyway, so there's not a whole bunch of platooning going on. JP Crawford returned from the IL this week. No, whatever, 15-teamer. Outside of that, like, I just get too depressed talking about the Mariners. Say, they're so bad, dude.
This is tongue-in-cheek, but I'll ask, with four lefties, Patrick Wisdom? No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, no.
Yeah, I'm joking. I'm joking. The rotation is an absolute joke as a whole. You're not adding any of them, but would you be dropping any of them?
I would be on Ryan Sloan watch, you know, depending on leagues where you can stash these guys before they're called up. I don't know if Brian Wu is right. Obviously missed a start with the shoulder. I watched his start on Wednesday when he gave up six earned in the first like inning and a third to the Phillies. Did not look right. The command was way off. Bryce Miller looks terrible. So this could be a rotation of Gilbert, Kirby, Hancock, Cade Anderson, and dare I say Ryan Sloan? I don't know. It's speculative, but like, they can't keep throwing Bryce Miller out there, and Brian Wu might not be right. So I don't know. If you can throw a dart and get an early Ryan Sloan, if it's cheap and you have roster room, that could be an option for the Mariners.
Yep. Don't blame me at all. Like, he's been almost as good.
He's
good as Cade Anderson.
Yeah, like, Cade Anderson gets the headlines, and deservedly so. But like, Ryan Sloan has been like almost as good.
Yeah, I remember I wrote up Sloan with Anderson at one point this year just to be like, I can't write Anderson every time in PG. So let me give you guys a heads up on Ryan Sloan as well, and he's been as advertised. So Next year, they both better be in the rotation to start the season, but we'll see on that. All right, Texas Rangers, they have 7 games this week, all at home, 3 versus the A's, 4 versus the Rays, 2 lefties, and 5 righties, which means you could fire up Jock Jams. Just realize Jock Jams has been a little skip in the CD these days.
that's a good one. Age yourselves with that one. But yeah, a little skip in the Jock Jams CD. That's fine. We still, in Jock Jams, we trust. You could probably roll with him the whole week because the first half, it's some bad pitching that he's facing, and then 3 righties next weekend. So Jock Jams for sure. It's a bad lineup, man.
Yes, it is. What I'll throw out there, and I don't agree with the fact he's playing all the time. I really don't. This is 15-team only, but Cody Freeman is the primary second baseman, and he's hitting for average. It's about all he's doing. But if you need a deep, deep waterfall where you just need to make sure you have a guy playing at the middle infield, he's a guy. But it's not sexy by any means, but he will play pretty much every day and hit close to like 280, 290. So
yeah,
put that one on your radar.
I won't tear into you too hard for that one because we all know what happens.
Yeah, it's strictly guy that's going to probably play 7 games, and you hope you run into some counting stats throughout the week. That's all it is. 15-team only. Don't do it otherwise. Starting rotation, I got nothing.
Agreed. I don't know when this Cal Quantrill thing is going to end.
It won't. Now that you said something last week.
I know. 290 ERA in 83 innings for Cal Quantrill.
Yep.
It's got to fall apart at some point. And is Cal Quantrill, like, is he even, he's 12% in 12 teamers. We get the Rays at Seattle, Boston for his next 3 starts after this weekend. I still can't do it, but it's a guy who's pitching very well on the surface that's pretty widely available. So I'm at least throwing it out there. Your mileage may vary.
It's facade-esque is the way I would say it.
It's Urania-esque, not facade.
No, Urania's better than that. You stop it right now. You bite your tongue. All right, let's head to the National League. The Atlanta Braves off for 6 games this week. Weird schedule. Monday, makeup game at home versus the Giants. Then they go Tuesday and Wednesday for 2 games in Washington. Get Thursday off, then 3 games in Philly. So it's 3 games to start the week for 2 teams, 3 games over the weekend, 2 lefties and 4 righties for the Braves.
I don't think I have anything for them.
Yeah, I know they're pretty widely rostered. I'm not going to get Sean Murphy, still not a Sean Murphy guy. And the pitching staff, I'm not AJ Smith shovering things. If Tyler Molly's out there, I guess. But yeah, I'm with you. I got nothing on the Braves.
Yep.
Miami Marlins, they have 7 games this week, a makeup game at Washington, or it's a wraparound, I'm not sure, at Washington on Monday. Then it's 3 at Kansas City, and then 3 at home versus the Cubs. 4 lefties and 3 righties, 2 lefties over the weekend. So anything on the Marlins?
Not really. Some of the righty bats. Goose.
Javier Sanoa.
Yeah, Javier Sanoa qualifies everywhere. I've had him on a couple 15s.
I'd have him over Hao Yu Lee.
Yeah, I mean, he's super flexible. He's hitting well right now. I think I stole 2 bags yesterday, so has a little bit of a green light. So yeah, I like that call. I don't think the ceiling's very high, but you know, ride him while he's playing hot.
Yeah, and if you have your Roberto Hernandez this week, enjoy. It's all just enjoy.
What a stud. We love Mr. Hernandez here.
Yep, and Otto Lopez, the average isn't back up what it once was, but he's running like crazy too. So another good one there.
Any Esteri Ruiz love? I have to at least bring it up with 4 lefties.
He's worth a roster, but I haven't had love for him all year, and so far it's panned out for me. You think one of these weeks it'll work, but it's funny, he actually got the playing time this week, and it hasn't really mattered. So I'm actually going to pull it up real quick.
Yeah, he started this week, 4 of the last 5 games, but...
Yeah, he's doing nothing. That was the problem. Like, he hasn't had a stolen base since week 21.
August 16th was Ruiz's last stolen base. Before that was August 11th. So
he's hit below 188 over each of the last 3 weeks.
Two steals in since August 2nd. Ouch.
Yeah. So the thing is, he has the ability to do that with the flick of a switch and have a monster week. So I get it if you want to take that chance, but it's a hefty chance. Pitching side of things, Jansen Chung's been okay. Gusto's been awesome. Tyler Phillips serviceable. I still have trouble trusting any of them, but I would trust Ryan Gusto out of the three, and I'd probably trust Ryan Gusto over Cal Quantrill.
I think so, and Gusto gets a two-step.
Yep.
So it's at Kansas City and against the Cubs, so it's
a tricky two-step.
Yeah, it's a little tricky on the two-step for Gusto. Skills-wise, you know, 12.5% K-minus walk, pretty subpar swinging strike. So not a big ceiling for Gusto, but pretty good walk rate and pitched well his last time out, if that means anything to you. So actually his last two starts, zero earned runs. Not many Ks, but that's the issue.
That is the issue indeed. And then the man that maybe should have been the cover boy, the man that should have possibly been the cover boy this week, but Walker Jenkins screwed it up. The good doctor's closing, I think, Ryan.
Yeah, it's good doctor time. So, you know, get in line, get into the office. You put out a tweet on Calvin Fauché. Yeah, go ahead. He's pitched really well lately.
Over his last 15 starts, basically the month of August, 15 innings pitched, two earned runs total for a 1-2 ERA, 34.5% K to walk. It's a 40% K rate over that stretch, supported by a 14.6% swinging strike rate. He's been, as advertised, what we've always hoped he'd be, I should say. And hopefully becoming the closer again don't hurt him. He's got a win, a save, and three holds in August, and should have a couple weeks. Fairbanks got a shot in his hand to help with the nerve situation on Tuesday, I think. So I have 15 days for sure, maybe more. We'll have to wait and see.
Fauché or Elvis Alvarado?
Fauché.
Same.
Yeah, I'll take my chances there. I also think Miami has more chances of winning games than the A's do. All right, the New York Metropolitan, six games this week, three at Tampa, three at home versus the Giants, two lefties and four righties for the floundering Mets.
Yeah, they're floundering is correct. Actually, their best hitter lately has been like Lou Bob.
Yeah, which is insane.
Which is kind of nuts. And he's playing every single day. So I don't know. There is that. But I don't have anything on for the bats.
I just wanted to let people know that if you want to know what a Gene Segura looks like, go look at Francisco Alvarez's stat line and go get yourself a new catcher. Go get yourself a new catcher.
It's been brutal. I dropped him in my home league, my 10-teamer last week, and was like, he is doing absolutely nothing.
He hasn't homered since August 9th, and he has, since August 9th, he has 3, 4, 6 total hits. So it's August 27th for those curious. Yeah, go ahead and get a new catcher was one thing I would tell you there.
Yep.
Anything on the pitching side of things with the New York Mets?
I don't think so.
Nah, I'm good. Singa's still the main man there. There's really hesitant to pitch him too many back-to-backs. That's the thing.
So. A little bit of a hiccup for Senga last weekend, but there's who else are they going to turn to?
That's the big one. It's very shaky back there. Philadelphia, Philly, six games, three at Arizona, three at home versus Atlanta, two lefties and four righties for the Steady Eddie Philadelphia Phillies.
Steady Eddie, not much going on other than Trey Turner committing even more errors during this podcast. But defense has been really bad for Trey Turner. Not that it really matters for fantasy, but man, he's looked rough.
And if somewhere out there under the rainbow, Andrew Painter is still available, go ahead and get him. He's 84% in 12s, but you might be playing in a league somewhere where he is available, and I believe fully in the changes we have seen.
And I believe the change up is one of those big changes for
it definitely is.
Mr. Painter lately.
I discussed him with Ulrico on a Fantasy Pros waiver wire bit this past week, and he completely shuffled his pitch mix. Now he's primarily a three pitch pitcher and is primarily a fastball, a changeup, and a sweeper. The first time he was up, he used a sinker a little bit and he used a splitter quite a bit, got rid of both of those. So he's at least in the last three or four starts, it's been a heavy, it's almost like a 20%, 20%, 20%, but different ratios. Fastball, changeup, sweeper. That's been his go-to of late.
And to put some numbers on that too, on the live bloom boards, this is a tool available to Patreon subscribers. If you want to support the show, Andrew Painter has by far the biggest pitch mix change over the last month of any pitcher in baseball. 72% of his pitch mix has changed over the last month, to your point. But just wanted to, you know, as the spreadsheet guy, put a number to that.
Yep, no, that stood out to me. I think I even mentioned that on that thing. I threw out the Ryan's weekly planner bloom board. So, yes, we're good there. Washington Nationals, they have the six games this week. It's the goofy one. Monday at home versus Miami, then two games at home versus Atlanta, day off, three games at the Dodgers, three lefties and three righties for the Nats. And it's two lefties over the weekend with Snell and Lauer, because Lauer's back in rotation, which we'll get to when we talk about the Dodgers.
Yeah. What are you doing with Abby Ortiz this week? I don't think you can play him. He's cooled down quite a bit and only three righties. So I don't know.
Yeah. You can maybe play him for the first half of the week. It's tough. Like, it's Tyler Phillips and then Smith Shaver. Then he sits for Sale. So if you want to go first half, you can. He has been cold. I think he's been an extremely streaky guy. Like the following week, it's four righties and two lefties, but it's three to start the week and good matchups. It's kind of one of those you're going to have to kind of play the matchups, but he's a power source that when swinging it well, you're not going to find many guys like him. So if you can like hold and kind of play the matchups, I would keep Abby. If you don't have that roster flexibility, he could be a drop for you.
Yeah. And I kind of want to like his counterpart at first base, Andre Chaparro, but it's not enough playing time.
It's very shaky. Like yeah. he's got a ton of power. I fully agree, but his playing time is very much up in the air. Like if we see over the weekend he takes it from Abby, then that's something to keep an eye on, because he'll get those at bats versus the lefties this week.
Yep, he will.
So if he somehow gets even four out of six games, maybe interesting. Still tough lefties like Sale, Snell. Like, do we want him playing those games? That's the question, I guess. Anything else with the Nationals?
No. Andrew Alvarez, I think he's a two-step this week.
Yeah, he had it this week, and he's been very, very good.
Matt Waldron is on.
Not going to do it. Not going to do it. Nope.
Not going to lie. Was not aware.
Not surprised, but not going to do it.
Really, really brutal stuff from Matt Waldron. Third team this year, the Nats.
Let's just say when I do my news and notes, there's certain things that I don't think are fantasy relevant. I just skip over them. I know it happened. It happened, I believe, yesterday, maybe Tuesday.
Okay, I don't feel as bad. No, if you sat here and said, oh, yeah, he's been on the Nats for 2 months, I'd be like, oh, shit.
No, it was very recent. Maybe it was like last weekend, but it was very, very recent for Waldron. I wouldn't get too up, and he hasn't started for them yet. Let's put it that way. So you're good. All right, let's go to the Chicago Cubs. They have seven games this week: four at home versus Milwaukee, three at the Miami Marlins, two lefties and five righties for the Cubbies.
Yeah, you like the full week. Unfortunately, there's not really much to do here. Like Michael Conforto is your platoon bat, and he's had a pulse lately. I could see a Michael Conforto in a 15 teamer. Schedule's rough though.
Yeah, I'm not too
especially the first half, right? It's two lefties with Harrison and Gasser, but then it's the Miz and Logan Henderson. Like, that's tough. So I don't even know if I'd go Conforto.
Yeah, but then the weekend it's Junk Phillips and Gusto.
Yeah, the weekend's better. Yes, that's true. But are you really picking up Michael Conforto for a half week? Maybe. I don't know.
At this time of the year, possibly.
Yeah. Yeah, it's true. It's true.
You need to loosen up your pitching, because by the final week of the season, you only want nine pitchers. Something Ben and I keep hashing on is, you still have time to play the pitching game, but just something to think about is start maximizing your hitting spaces on your roster. I will say this much, though. Matt Shaw should be back any day. And that is going to be interesting, because I didn't seem like to play him before.
No.
But does that eat into Pedro Ramirez's playing time? Does it eat into Michael Conforto's playing? Like, there's a lot
of scenarios. It's going to be the same crap as it always is with Matt Shaw. It's going to be three games a week. I've been burned by Matt Shaw a couple times this year. Yep, I think he's legitimately good. They just will not play him.
Yeah, I don't disagree. So just something to keep in mind. He should be back 22% rostered. I will not be looking to roster him, but something to keep in mind. All right, Cincinnati Reds, 6 games at home in Great American Small Park, 3 versus the Padres, 3 versus the Brewers, 1 lefty and 5 righties for the Cincinnati Reds, who they couldn't even get rid of TJ Friedl and Eugenio Suarez, even though they tried to do it for free.
Yeah, even the Mariners wouldn't bring back fan favorite Eugenio Suarez. Got to talk Hector Rodriguez, right? Had a hell of a week. Prospect was called up, 3 weeks ago? I want to say led off on Wednesday against a righty, and you got 5 righties this week for the Reds. So I like Hector Rodriguez. I don't know. I should have his
9%. Yep.
Yeah. So I like that ad.
Yeah. No, it's a good ad for the week. He'll be very popular. He was doing next to nothing before that big game versus the Giants, but tons of power in the minors. So that's what people are excited about. These are the matchups you try to play and see where it goes. Like just looking ahead at the Reds, kind of like we did with the A's for Puss to just kind of give people an idea on things. They have the 6 games this week at home, and then next week they're on the road for 6, obviously, and it's 3 lefties, 3 righties, so that's tricky. But in the following week, they have 7 games in Great American Small Park. And as of right now, though, it's 4 lefties and 3 righties. So things to monitor, and they go on the road to finish the season. So, tough one for them. A lot of lefties on tap for the Reds coming up, which is not always a great thing unless you like Dane Meyers, and that's a coin toss in itself.
Yeah.
Anything on the pitching side with the Reds? And I hope no one's still rostering Nick Lodolo.
Right. I hope so, too. Although, I guess not. I guess if I'm in your league.
But, my opponents, yes.
No, I don't. Ugly lately for Chase Burns, but not anything actionable, I don't think.
Nope. Milwaukee Brewers, they have 7 games on the road this week, 4 at the Cubs and Wrigley, and then 3 at Great American Small Park. Nice little schedule on tap, but 3 lefties and 4 righties for the Brew Crew.
Yeah, and I don't know. It kind of sucks that it's somewhat of a split week. So we talked about Christian Yelich on the Tuesday show. He's basically a platoon guy. The raw power skills have looked better in the second half, but results have not been there. Sal Frelick's back from the IL. Are you interested in him?
No, I'm not interested in him, but I will say a couple things. Jake Bowers is dealing with shin splints, so they're going to pick his time when they're going to give him rest and then play him. He hasn't played in the last couple days, so it's going to be a tough roster going forward. And I love what Jake Bowers has done this year. I'm not cutting him yet, but it's going to be tilting. If it's like one game here and there, it's fine. But if they're going to do like a couple games in a row, that's not ideal. I will mention, you mentioned Sal Frelick. I'm not really in on. Andrew Vaughn is playing every day and he's hitting for average. There's really no power, but a lot of average and some counting stats.
Yeah. Yeah, I like that. Andrew Vaughn or Nathaniel Lowe?
I'll take Andrew Vaughn. Okay. Yeah, I'll take Vaughn in that mix. But the biggest thing for me is watch the Bowers thing. That's a full tilt for a guy having an amazing season this year. Anything else on the hitting side in Milwaukee?
No, I don't think so.
Pitching is pretty much locked in for now. They're going 6-man rotation. Like Gasser is available out of the bullpen for a couple days. Had to come in because Dustin May got smoked by a line drive. He was still going to pitch on the weekend. I don't know if that's still the case. Maybe May goes. Who knows? But they're sticking 6-man for now.
As they should. Nothing's really changed there. So I don't know. You just kind of hope this staff stays healthy because it's a good staff, but a lot of injury questions and workload questions.
Agreed. Pittsburgh Pirates, 6 games at home this week, 3 versus the Giants, 3 versus the Angels. Pretty solid week for your Pirates. 3 lefties and 3 righties, though, is the conundrum.
That is the problem. We've got a split week, and really I don't see much in the Pirates lineup that I'm interested in. We did feel like last week was Rafael Flores' week. Cooled down a little bit lately, but
keep playing him.
Yes. If you need a catcher, that's a fine option.
Pick him up and drop Francisco Alvarez.
Yeah.
That'd be my 2 cents. Anything on the pitching side, it's they're pretty much locked and loaded as well.
Agreed. The resurgence of Braxton Ashcraft has been...
It's been very nice.
It's been beautiful to see. And then Mason Montgomery seems like the dude in the 9th for the Pirates right now.
Agreed. St. Louis Cardinals, they have six games this week, three at the Dodgers, three in Coors Field, two lefties and four righties. Coors Field is three righties, if that means anything to you. What do you like this week?
Yeah, to the point where would you entertain? I think you'd go to church next weekend. I think you'd go to church.
I definitely go to church. I thought you were going somewhere else with that.
I was gonna go. No, I was gonna ask Nolan Gorman. That's more the like, whoa, we gotta.
If you want this. If you want power, he is a stream still. Like he's played two games and he went deep. I remember I wrote up in the news and notes in AAA he was hitting below 200, but he had 13 home runs. He has not changed. He will not hit for average, but he will hit. He probably hits at least one home run next week in three games, of course.
Right, because it's Feltner, it's Adams. And it's
Ollie Hughes
and Gordon. Who the hell is Adams?
Tanner Gordon, I think he just pitched the other day. It's seven innings.
Adams, the Rockies. Missing this? whatever. It's three terrible, terrible pitchers for the Rockies next weekend. So Mason Adams.
There you go. But yeah, Gorman is strictly in play for next week, and not going to knock that at all. If people want to give it a shot, it's very viable. Then he's an easy drop Sunday night when things are all done.
Yeah, Mason Wynn is out. He's obviously a drop. JJ Weatherholt has been playing shortstop there. Ramon Urias was activated from the IL and has been playing some second base, maybe a short side platoon, but nothing good will come of that.
The other guy, if you want to stream something for next week, especially with Coors, is Jose Fermin. Usually it's for an okay average, a little bit of pop speed. Again, you're looking at counting stats and some great matchups. So and he's eligible in three positions. So Jose Fermin would be another cheap stream if in your deeper formats next week.
Yep.
Pitching side of things, Quinn Matthews is back, should be locked on the rotation. We talked last week, Kyle Leahy's innings are about to be limited. They kind of already have been limited. I don't have a whole lot for the pitching, though.
Yeah, for as well as Lee has pitched lately, if you need wins, like I don't think you're going to get any. Leahy pitched in the most recent start. He went four innings and I think had a pretty sizable lead, and they would not let him go back out for the fifth. So that's an issue. We like Kyle Leahy. We like the recent run. We think we liked his schedules at least a couple weeks ago, but that can all get thrown out the window if you're only going three or four innings.
Yep, full agree. Would be nice if they'd use an opener form to give him a chance at wins.
Yeah, that would be ideal. Yeah, but
not going to hold my breath on that one. All right, let's go to the NL West. The Arizona Diamondbacks, six games, three at home versus Philly, three at Houston, one lefty, five righties. Apparently, we're getting the troublemaker back on Tuesday. We'll have to wait and see on that. Maybe he rolls sevens and craps out and has to show up to the ballpark. But actually, I heard Blackjack's his game, so maybe the dealer has a five-card 21 and he throws his chips and leaves. But what are your thoughts on the D-backs?
Oh, what are my thoughts on the D-backs? In terms of Fab, we have to elevate the tool man, but the tool man's gone mainstream. Everyone else is on the tool man. So
the tool man has left Tubi and he's now on ABC. So we're out of luck there.
We knew him well, but he's gone to bigger and better things, but he will always be the tool. No one else has called him the tool man. So we'll always have that. No one else
I think we'll have about 90% of the nicknames we make up, Ryan, because most of them won't fly in that same vein.
I don't know. Do you have any ads?
No, I don't.
It does not much.
It's like I want to play Jordan Lawler, but he's almost in a platoon now.
I know he's not. Yeah,
really crazy.
And I don't know. Part of me is like, okay. Like let Jordan Lawler play, but part of me is also like, let's keep him upright and give him the occasional days off and get through the season.
Okay, but I guess my question to that is, since we're late in the season, so it's not always just about who we add. He's 95% rostered in 12s. He's playing 100% in 15s. Is that worth rostering?
No, okay. It's not. I don't care who it is. If you're not playing enough, like it doesn't really matter who you are.
And that's why I wanted to bring that up. It's something to keep in mind if you're looking for players to drop this weekend and you just name value ruins things for you. Jordan Lawler's probably a dude, even though you want to hold on to him as long as you can. Yep. Pitching side of things, Jose Cabrera got the spot start on Thursday, went 4 1/3. I like Jose Cabrera if they let him go full, like stretch him out, mm-hmm. let him go. Yep. I don't know what the D-backs are going to do, though. But that's one. If he sticks in the rotation, Jose Cabrera is an intriguing cheap option if possible. Like Soroka's back on the IL. Burns and Gallen are at least a couple weeks away, it feels like. So I think Cabrera should get some more looks.
Yeah, I like Cabrera too. Decent numbers in the upper minors this year. Good number of missed bats. Some control issues, but you at least got some strikeout upside there. So that alone is worth more than some of the other pitchers we've talked about tonight. So agreed on Cabrera. It's just let's see what the Diamondbacks do.
Agreed. Colorado Rockies six game. Oh, you got something else?
Is it Justin Martinez time yet? We all are assuming Justin Martinez is going to be the closer, but Juan Murillo got the most recent save. Presumably Martinez not available. It was the day after Martinez got a win, but I don't know what your thoughts are on that.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Martinez and just hope that he actually gets it. It might be a little bit of a mess, but it might kind of be like the Ben Joyce, Kodai Senga things where they're not going to give him a ton of back-to-backs, but for the most part, it's Martinez.
Yeah. Okay.
And to add to that, he's 11% rostered in 12s. So
Martinez, that's it.
Yep, that's it. Okay. People, because he was unowned before last week. I think in 12s, people are sleeping right now. So he'll be around for a little while. Probably talk about him again next week. All right, Rockies 6 at home this week. 3 against Baltimore, 3 against St. Louis. 2 lefties and 4 righties for the Rockies. So maybe Zach Veen gets to play this week. Holy crap, another guy you could probably drop.
Yeah, probably.
I'm glad in the couple leagues I got him in, I didn't overspend as one of those where he just fell through the 12-team cracks. Because, wow, the Rockies just rockied the whole thing.
Yes, and that's always a risk with any Rocky, especially any Rocky outfielder. For whatever reason, it's an issue, and it may be an issue next year for Charlie Condon as well, unless he gets called up later this season, which I will not be that excited for the same exact reason.
It'll be next week after Jenkins was the last prospect to
ask. Yeah, exactly. This is the last prospect you'll be, and then Charlie Condon's up next week. That's exactly what's going to happen. I might as well make the damn show art now.
He'll be added Monday after.
One name I do like is a first, second, and third base eligible Connor Norby.
Agreed.
Been swinging it pretty well lately and playing pretty much every day, and he's at home all week. So you like Connor Norby, a flexible bat, especially at home, who's hitting well right now.
Yep, since he was recalled, since he joined the Rockies August 11th, 14 games, 310 average, 2 homers, 2 steals. You like that. For sure. So, Connor Norby is definitely on my list of players to add this week. Other than that, though, everyone else is pretty rostered in Coors, surprisingly, I guess. Pitching side of things, I'm just it's Romano or nobody in that scenario.
You want to shade my guy Mason Adams?
No, I'm not doing any. Not this week while they're in Coors. I'm not doing it. Like, if you guys want to be proactive for some weird reason for Colorado. Gabriel Hughes has a 2-step the following week on the road. Not doing it.
No, don't do it.
Yeah, Adams is in the rotation because Freeland's gone. When Freeland comes back, Adams will be gone as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, not for me. All right, the Dodgers, Los Angeles Dodgers, 6 games at home, 3 versus the Cardinals, 3 versus the Nationals, 3 lefties and 3 righties for the Los Angeles Dodgers.
I guess we'll start with what's the latest on Will Smith?
He's rehabbing. They are still shooting for sometime next week, but I haven't heard anything in a couple of days, to be honest.
Okay. I would think he's pretty close, and I would think when Will Smith gets back, he will be he'll be playing a ton because your boy Fiducia, he ain't it back there.
Oh, come on. He's great. He's not their biggest problem. He's hitting, like, his numbers resemble Teoscar. No, I'm just kidding.
Alec Thomas was called up this week, last weekend. Whew.
The tone of your voice when you heard this said that, and he's gonna, and when he got called up, the rat said that Thomas will start in center. As he got called up because Paul has went on the IL for those living under a rock. Thomas will start versus right-handed pitching. Edmund will start versus left-handed pitching in center field. It's a 3 lefty, 3 righty week, which kind of hurts things, but Thomas is playing well, and he's a guy I wouldn't mind having going forward. Like the first half of the week against the Cardinals, McGreevy, Pallante, if Pallante's back from the IL, and Quinn Matthews, Thomas should play at least two of those games, and that's not a bad stream. And then obviously more games going forward. So I do agree that Alec Thomas is at least someone to be on the radar for folks.
Yep.
Pitching side of things, I have nothing in the rotation unless you do.
Not really. I mean, Glasnow is widely owned. Looked sharp in his return.
Eric Lauer's back in the rotation because Roki Sasaki went on the IL with a blister. Eric Lauer has been quite serviceable in 15s to get you five or six innings and a lot of wins because he pitches for the Dodgers. So I will roll that one quite a bit again.
And Lauer, it's a two-step. So it's Cardinals, Nats for Lauer, and then at Miami. Miami is awful against lefties. So decent matchups for Mr. Lauer coming up. And I think he makes those starts. Like I think Sasaki's probably, you know, just come back from a blister on the minimum, usually.
Agreed. Full agree. So yeah, Lauer could be a nice little fantasy asset down the stretch here. And then Tanner Scott is closing, of course, but he has back-to-back outings with losses. All right, the San Diego Padres, they have six games this week, three at Cincinnati in Great American and three at home versus the Yankees. Three lefties and three righties. It's two lefties over the weekend versus the Yankees. So if you want split action, Great American is one lefty and two righties.
Yeah, I don't like the split, but doesn't really affect the Padres who roll out the same exact lineup every single time. Machado's banged up again, but you know, the sky is blue.
But he won't sit. He won't sit, folks.
He has not missed a game. That's just Manny Machado. Love him. I got nothing on the bats.
Rengifo is still just 30%, the mascot, so you can add him. I'll take advantage of that, especially in Great American for at least three and see where the dust settles after that. He's still hitting well. So
okay. Yeah.
Make that happen. Pitching side of things, I cannot Randy Vasquez, and I have trouble Walker Buehlering as well, so I don't have anything for you.
You should have trouble Walker Buehlering. I might not be Casey Mizing. He just seems beat. Like every, I don't know. The guy just has random injuries. Didn't he fall?
Yeah, he fell and hurt his ankle.
Down the, into the dugout.
Yeah, but he threw his bullpen Wednesday and he's still scheduled to start on Friday, I believe it is. So Jesus. Not missing a beat for now.
I guess, but hasn't pitched particularly well lately. But I guess you throw him out there. But Jesus, it's like it's either his groin or his ankle or whatever.
My neck, my back. Okay. last but not least. Wow.
Haven't heard that one in a while.
San Francisco Giants. Seven games this week. Open the week at one at Atlanta for a makeup game. Then three at Pittsburgh, then three at the Mets. So a bad team has to travel to three cities to top things off. One lefty and six righties for the Giants. All I'll say is if you want counting stats, if you want to maximize at bats, you at least have options. Right now with the Giants. Are they great options? I didn't say that. You have options. Leading off every game versus righties, the Giants have six righties this next week, is Drew Gilbert. And I'll mention Drew Gilbert for the fact that he homered on Thursday night. He's hit over 300 in two of the last 3 weeks. He has at least one homer each of the last 3 weeks. And he's scoring runs and driving. Like he's doing everything but steal bases right now. Drew Gilbert should be on your radar as a guy in a six righty week you want to look at. Now, I should preface the six righties are Elder, Skeens. Elder might throw harder than Skeens now. Elder, Skeens, Bubba Chandler, Jared Jones, Nolan McClain, and Robert Stock. So it's a challenging week, but still a week you can attack nonetheless. So you have Drew Gilbert, not a horrible stream. Then you have Turner Hill, who got called up and has forced Barakoto to the platoon, then to the IL. Turner Hill was a hitting machine at AAA, and in his first 22 at-bats, he's hitting .318 with a stolen base. He's hitting fifth every day for the Giants. That's how bad they are right now, but my point is he's hitting fifth every day, hits for average, and should drive in some runs. Again, deep leagues only. Other than that, I can't Kristen Kos. He's been okay. That bad. Can't do it. I'm not going with all of them. I want to see if Jonah Cox continues to play in the outfield. He's played the last two games, and he had a couple days off and then played another one on Sunday. He's hit leadoff or fourth the last two nights. He's another guy that can hit for a very good average, and he can run a ton. He'll steal a ton of bases with a little bit of pop. Jonah Cox really does intrigue me out of him. Drew Gilbert's my favorite out of the group. don't hate Hill just in a deep, deep format. Jonah Cox could be very interesting if he sticks in the top half of the lineup just for his little bit of power. He's kind of like a Drew Gilbert in the same vein. So horrible team. You wouldn't roster most of these players unless it's the end of the season. You just want to accumulate, and this is a week to accumulate. So just throwing that out there.
Those were some deep cuts. No Nate Furman?
Nope. Okay. Don't go that deep here. But
checking.
Yeah, Gilbert is like the most locked in guy out of the group. He's actually with regular playing time throughout the season has actually started to play well.
Yeah, I don't mind the Gilbert call.
Yeah, as much crap as I get, because early on I was like, what's he even doing out here? But he has been much better as the season's gone along. And then the other two guys are more just like strictly, it's seven games. Let's see what they can, you know, can they get me three runs and two RBIs and maybe a home run? Like that. Okay, cool. In a 15 team league, that'll play for a stream. You move on. That's all that is. Rotation, bullpen, oof. Not doing it at all. Like Blake Tidwell, I still like if he's out there for you, but. Sure. Don't touch the bullpens, like the slogan of 2027 around, or 26 for me around here. And then the rotation, I don't even know how they're going to fill it out. I really don't.
Yeah, I mean, they don't. I mean, they need the tugboat to go like six innings.
Yeah, I'm expecting them. I'm expecting them to call them up this weekend because they have a doubleheader. So I'm expecting the tugboat to get a call at some point. But yeah, you go through their minor league system and it's bad. They've kind of gone through most of their options. It's rough. Yes. Really rough.
Yes, it is.
All right.
But have fun on Saturday at the Giants game.
I'll have fun because my daughter will be having fun.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah, for sure. But
that's all that matters.
Hopefully you get an in-person tugboat appearance.
I'm glad you finished that sentence. all right. Any other thoughts before we do a little two-step in this week?
No, good observation here from Pat, where I just started laughing at my neck, my back. Yeah. But then you talked about the Giants for about 5 minutes straight. So I could have probably listened to the entire song.
Yeah,
while you were going through the Giants.
Yeah, you probably could have, but I had to at least. If I would have just said Turner Hill, you probably would have been who. I at least had to give you some context behind.
Oh, yeah, same with like Jonah Cox. I mean, who the hell are these guys, man? You just went 5 minutes on these guys, and we'll see. But man, that was deep. I should have listened to my neck, my back. It's been a while.
Yeah, I have it going off in my head most mornings when I roll out of bed. When I go, oh, my neck, my back.
We won't.
It should be like my alarm clock.
We won't finish the lyrics there.
No, we're not going to finish the show. That's
Bubba
the Blue Patreon After Dark. That's the special fee.
Oh, God. I'm going to sleep to that tonight.
Yeah, let's get the two-step in. Brandon Pfaadt versus Philadelphia at Houston.
You got to do it the way he's been lately, sure.
I'm waiting for the blow up. This could be the week when everyone two steps him. This could be the week. On the road, Gage jump at Texas at Seattle. Yes.
You do it. And you just hope Bubba's right this time.
JT Ginn at Texas at Seattle.
In 15s, I can see it. Yeah. It's good. Yeah,
in
15s, good schedule.
I can for sure. Very good. Even in 12s, I could see it, but 15s for sure. Kyle Bradish at Coors versus Boston. He's been bad.
Yes. Yeah, you throw it.
Yeah, we'll see. Trevor Rogers at Colorado versus Boston. I'm throwing that.
You are throwing that, correct?
Yep. Peyton Tolley and Sonny Gray are throwing those. If anybody's curious, it's versus Seattle at Baltimore. You're throwing those. Clay Holmes versus Milwaukee at Miami.
I really don't want to do that. So maybe 15 teamers, but
it's 15. He threw really well in Arizona, really well.
Yeah, that's true. But I don't know. Skills this year aren't much for Clay Holmes.
Well, if you want to talk about bad skills, but coming off a good start in Arizona, Matthew Boyd versus Milwaukee at Miami.
Yeah, this was surprising to me because Matthew Boyd has been straight awful. But yeah, looked good his most recent start. The two step Milwaukee at Miami, you like that, and Pittsburgh after that. So you hope Boyd has just figured something out and he can finish the season strong, which he hasn't been able to do in a long time.
Yeah, that's the biggest reason I've held on to him is these next few starts. And like Great Americans after that, which is scary, but Cincinnati has not been scary. So it's like He's got a really good set of matchups coming his direction.
Yep.
Brady Singer versus San Diego versus Milwaukee.
God. I don't want to
say no.
I'm going to say no.
Yeah, I'm going to say no. I actually dropped him in some 12s last week. I finally gave up on that. Gavin Williams bounce back week. Yes. Tanner Gordon versus Baltimore versus St. Louis. No. Never Rockies. Sean Burke, you mentioned it, at Houston versus Minnesota.
Yeah. I still think you can throw him in 15s, but it's not an auto start.
And 15s, I think you do it, but yeah, be prepared to be disappointed. I didn't know this guy was coming back, but Davis Martin at Houston versus Minnesota.
What the hell? No.
Jackson Jobe at Minnesota at Cleveland. Yes.
He has not pitched well at all.
Sub Jackson 4 ERA. Jobe.
You don't look at ERA.
That is one of the five stats we need.
That is. But no, he's not pitching well. I'm not doing it.
Troy Melton at Minnesota at Cleveland. Yes.
Yeah, I'll do that.
Yeah. Peter Lambert versus the White Sox versus Arizona.
Yep.
Mike Burrows versus the White Sox versus Arizona.
You got to look and see. But although we don't really have time, right?
We don't have a chance. This is it.
Three more weeks. But no, I don't think so.
And Burrows
people will.
He will be added in every 15. So, yes. Will you be the ones, folks? That's the question. I'm 50-50 on the Burrows one. I kind of want to, but it really depends on what league I am using him in. Randy Dobnak versus Miami versus Toronto. I think that's a yes, dog.
Why? Why is that a yes?
Because he continues to shut guys down. I think he actually had 5 Ks in his last start, too, which is just mind-boggling to think about.
I'm not.
Yeah, 5 strikeouts. He's had at least 4 strikeouts in 3 straight starts.
This guy is a 1.92 ERA. This is just unbelievable.
It's the year of the facades.
Yeah, it's not the year for Bloomfield, I'll tell you that. Jesus. 1.92 ERA. He almost has a 1.92 whip.
It's insane.
Good.
Tyler Phillips at Washington versus the Cubs.
No.
Ryan Gusto at Kansas City versus the Cubs. That's a yes.
I think I would do it.
I would do it. Kyle Harrison's a yes. Taj Bradley versus Detroit at the White Sox.
You never know what you're going to get with Bradley. It doesn't even matter the matchups.
Yep.
But yeah, I would do it.
Yeah, you do it. Pitched great in Sacramento. Had the immaculate inning. Robert Stock at Tampa Bay versus the Giants. No.
I'm bearish on Robert Stock.
You going to do it?
No, I'm bearish.
Oh, my bad. I was like, what?
That means not into it.
This is an amazing two-step. I'm going to say yes right now before I introduce it. But the starts are at Arizona and versus Atlanta for one Aaron Nola.
Yeah. Hell yeah. Awesome. He's been great.
Yep. Paul Skeens is a yes. Logan Gilbert's a yes. Logan Webb at Atlanta versus the Mets.
Yeah, that's a yes.
Landon Roop at Pittsburgh at the Mets.
What do you think? I don't like the Pittsburgh start. I'd probably throw in it.
I would throw it, but it's been rough. Like, he pitched well tonight, but they took him out after 5. It's been a weird, like, last month or so for Landon Roop. The season started out amazing, and it's been dwindling. Maybe he's just running out of gas, and we have no one else to fill in for him. Michael McGreevy at the Dodgers at Colorado.
No, the guy's bad.
He's a facade as well. Ian Seymour is a yes, I believe, versus the Mets at Texas.
Yeah.
Yep. Jacob DeGrom versus the A's versus Tampa Bay.
You would think yes. I mean, yes, but DeGrom's been a little shaky.
Yeah, you're doing it, but man, oh man. Mackenzie Gore versus the A's versus Tampa.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're doing that. Arrighetti Spaghetti at Cleveland, at Kansas City.
No.
No, I'm not either. I think he's broken. Deion Sanders. Will Deion. Who everyone wanted to add last week, and then he gets shelled in the piggyback role. Will Deion versus Miami at the Dodgers.
No. Celine Dion
works too. Yes. Yeah. I was thinking it's definitely not prime time. All right. Any final thoughts? That wraps up another fab episode, week 24. Every time we think, man, what are we going to talk about tonight? We get her done and have a good time.
We do. I still don't know how fruitful Fab will be this week, but
long
hey.
Long list, though. If you're on Patreon, you have a lot of names to go over.
Jonah Cox, whoever else you just talked about on the Giants.
Jonah Cox is what Jonah Hill looks like after he takes the shot.
My neck, Ozempic, my back.
Ozempic, not
the I got you.
Clarify that, apparently.
What a show. What an ending.
Yeah. Yep. I'll be here all night and next week and the week after, but we'll wrap it up there.
No, I gotta go. I gotta go listen to My Neck, My Back.
Yeah. Ryan's already downloaded it, so he'll have to go check that one out. But yes, let's enjoy the weekend. Hope you guys have a good one. Good luck in Fab. We'll be back with you guys Tuesday for another Bloomboard type episode. We got an idea this week, so we might have something really different for you guys on that one. But until then, check out Ryan on Twitter at RyanBHQ, the podcast at Bubba Bloom Pod, on Patreon at patreon.com/BubbaBloom. I'm at BDNTrick, and until next time, this was Bubba and the Bloom, episode 377. Catch y'all later.